Let me tell you about Scott Cunith. He's a guy you wanna be with. No, 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 not without. When you're looking to sell a house, same goes if you're buying. Don't even start trying if Scott's not in your corner. Oh, don't say that I didn't warn ya. He knows real estate so well, he could write the manual. He works for Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. Scott Cunith is absolutely essential if you're buying or you're selling residential. Oh, 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 Scott Cunith. Call him 248-797-7746. You're just the person he'd love to get an email from. SKUNNATH@CBWM.com. Scott Cunith.
Yeah.
Scott Cunith.
Yeah.
Scott Cunith brings you the best of Drew and Mike. 248-797-7746 to list your home, sell your home, find out what your home is worth. Talk to Scott Cunith.
And
you can, you can text him. You can email SKUNNATH. It's CBWM. He is the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. But you know all that because you heard the song, which we played at Scott's request because he said he wanted to, someone to hear it. And I realized, well, wait, can you go on back to another best of?
We have the master. I mean, he emailed us the copy.
Seemed kind of like Jingle for One to me. although it is a good jingle, and Scott is a valued advertiser.
Like he doesn't listen to it all the time in the morning when he gets up.
I don't even want to say what happens when he listens to the jingle. He gets so fired up.
But I just picture that being a shower song. I mean, that would be really motivating if you were him.
He is back in August. I'm very happy he's back. And things seem to be going well. People are listing and selling their homes with Scott Cunith.
Yeah.
So it's all good. Hey, has anybody seen or heard much about the Tarantino movie?
Oh, we were just talking about it. We said, you know, why don't we get out of here early and go see the Tarantino movie?
I was thinking the same thing.
Let's do Boys Night Out.
Yeah. It is a 2.5 hour movie.
More than that, isn't it? 250.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Has anyone complained about the length?
No.
No.
No, I don't think you're allowed to complain about Tarantino's length in films.
I've seen good reviews on it so far.
I saw pretty good reviews, too. A couple of people that saw it were... I think they were kind of...
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but great things about it. Like, it's his masterpiece.
Well, that's what the reviewers are saying.
Oh. What are the people that are meh about? Like, what's their... is it just because it's too long?
Yeah, I think that was the complaint. But is there a Rotten Tomatoes on it? I was like, when there's a divergence between the critics and the public, I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
Usually, it's the critics give it a 7 and the public gives it a 60. But you do have those movies, you know, there are those ass-kissy kind of directors that get a lot of love.
Right.
And then the audience goes, oh, it was that good. Because maybe it's too deep.
We'll have to go catch it this weekend. The last movie the three of us saw was Dumb and Dumber 2.
Ah, yes.
And it was just us, and then all the young Red Wings were sitting in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And someone yelled, Kyle Quincy sucks.
On the Tomometer, the reviewers have given it an 84, which is on par with most of his movies.
Yeah,
and the audience is only a 71.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm not surprised.
No, I don't want to see it.
He is loved by director. I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. What I've seen is, which is not much, I like the way it's shot.
Yeah.
It just looks cool. It reminded me of Blow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way he shoots movies are pretty unique.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Spin the Plunger with a New York City cop than see this film.
ML and I were talking about, he read an article where they ranked.
Is this podcast ever going to be out?
Maybe, someday. I hope so.
It should be out by now. There's been some delays with the ML Rexall of Detroit. I don't know. It seems...
Really busy people.
I know.
But they ranked Tarantino's movies. Mm-hmm. Got in a very passionate discussion after the show. We should do it next week about the fact that whoever reviewed these had Reservoir Dogs like his worst movie, which
I wasn't
take umbrage with.
Wasn't my favorite,
really.
But read the order. Pulp Fiction's got to be number one, right?
I don't have that one.
Pulp Fiction should be number one. Yeah,
gotta be.
I disagree. I still think Inglorious Bastards is his best film.
God, I love that film too.
I love it.
Django.
I like it.
Django would be up there. But on Rotten Tomatoes, they have a list, and number one on there is Pulp Fiction.
You know which one's pretty underrated? It's called Four Rooms. Have you seen that? It's got Tim Roth.
Yeah, but that's not him, though. Well, he does one part of it, so that's not on the list.
Well, he partially directed it, partially wrote it, and he produced it, so sorry. But I liked Kill Bill.
Pulp Fiction.
You know which one I don't think I liked that much?
What's that? Jackie Brown?
I don't think I like Jackie Brown.
I like Jackie Brown.
It's okay. I just think it's overrated.
I thought Kill Bill was overrated.
I liked Kill Bill, but
I liked Kill Bill more than Grindhouse.
Oh, Grindhouse. Yeah, I was not a Grindhouse fan.
I hated The Hateful Eight.
Wait, did Kill Bill and Grindhouse come out at the same time?
No, Kill Bill was in 03 and 04, and Grindhouse, which is Death Proof and Planet Terror. It's two movies.
Yeah, okay.
That was in 2007.
Okay. I'm not one of those people that worships Quentin Tarantino, but I do like some films a lot.
I think he's great.
I like The Hateful Eight.
You do?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think I've seen that.
I didn't see the twist coming.
Save yourself some time.
You know what we forgot yesterday?
What?
The Mario Lopez controversy.
Mario.
Which was hilarious to me because I can't believe Mario Lopez is involved in a controversy.
Hi, Mario.
Yeah, he really shouldn't be mixed with the word controversy.
No, because who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, really, who cares?
Mario Lopez said what?
Is not
a phrase many people say ever.
Okay,
I don't think if they ever have said it.
Let's leave the current controversy aside. Has he ever said anything anyone remembers?
It's me, Mario.
I mean, is there anything you go, remember when Mario Lopez?
No.
Can you complete that sentence?
If anything, it would be like a Saved by the Bell reference.
Brandon, I was just trying to think of one of those, and I can't think of. He didn't have a catchphrase on that.
I forgot
he was on that show.
Yeah.
I was thinking
AC Slater, baby.
Is the host of these entertainment shows. And also, he's got a lot of muscles.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just weird. He says something about raising kids to be gender fluid. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, Mario Lopez, I can't believe he said that.
I'm just Googling Mario Lopez famous quotes and see if anything comes up.
That's funny.
Because you're not allowed to have a dissenting opinion on that.
No, there's some things you just can't say. First Amendment has an asterisk now.
Here's some Mario Lopez quotes.
Oh, really? I can't wait.
And I don't know if these are
I missed them.
I don't know what these are. I don't even know if they're true, but I want them to be. There's always three things men always talk about: women, sports, and cars. Mario Lopez.
Clever.
Right now, I'd like to just continue on a series where I'm doing good work with a balance of comedy and drama. That and do occasional features and movies.
He's the one that said that?
Mario Lopez,
oh, my God.
Damn, son, that is one compelling argument.
That is intense, man.
That's what 90% of the people talk about when they're first exposed to the fish, Mario Lopez.
What?
I don't know. It's totally out of context.
Now, I know he's in a position where he's hosting these tabloid shows and stuff like that. So he's prominent. He's out there. I get it. You got to be careful. You got to tread lightly on what you say. However,
he said it on a podcast.
You know what else he said once? I haven't gotten labeled as a Hispanic actor. Mario Lopez. He hasn't gotten labeled as an actor either.
Does he act?
Outside of Saved by the Bell,
he played Greg Louganis in that.
Oh, that's right.
Made for TV
movie. Oh, Greg.
Yeah, but in regards to what he said,
whatever.
You know, this a lot of this trans stuff is very, very new. A lot of people just don't get it yet. So, you know, for a group of people that really want tolerance, they're very intolerant of a
you can only think one thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of the other side's point, is that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He probably doesn't. I would say most people don't.
Yeah.
On that topic. So you're probably getting a lot of dumb comments or ill-informed or just that you don't like.
Breaking news. Queer Eye star Karamo Brown has accepted Mario Lopez's apology.
He accepted it?
What's that stand for? Lazy goof-off buffoons?
But I don't
and
even,
transgender?
I don't even know who that is.
No. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Stop playing. Sorry. Not sorry. I was trying to play his comments, whoever this guy is.
But I don't know.
Nobody knows who the hell he is or she, although they put he, but probably that's a little disguise. That means it's she.
You guys don't know who Karamo Brown is?
I don't.
Okay, we get it. You're a guy.
Star of...
Queer Eye, the only one I know is Carson Kressley.
Oh, that was so
Carson Kressley.
It was so 2000. True, they've updated it.
Okay.
Now it stars Karamo Brown, apparently.
Wait, where they have five gay guys that go in a straight guy's closet and try to fix it?
Sure.
Okay. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah. Hey, Karamo, what's up, man?
Guys, he can't be here all day, okay? Let's go.
Karamo!
Okay, let me set the scene. He's outside Good Morning America, I guess.
Thank you for setting the scene.
And there's actually two people trying to take selfies with them, and that security guard's like, hey, you can't be here all day. It's like, wait, really? What is this guy? Where does this guy have to go?
Not only do I not know Karamo Brown is part of Queer Eye, but there are people who run up and demand selfies with him. He's that important?
At least two people on the streets of New York.
Man, guys, he can't be here all day. Okay?
Yes, he can. Go. He's got nothing else
Karamo.
To do.
Karamo.
I think a lot of people are just taking pictures because on one person did.
Oh, no, today, this morning.
Do you guys accept Mario Lopez's apology?
Is that him?
They asked him the question. Do you accept his apology?
Here we go.
I think it's very important for the community.
Thank you.
I actually invited Mario Lopez on Twitter to have a conversation to learn more.
Did he accept?
I do accept his apology, but there needs to still be more education.
More conversation about this?
You?
So hit me up, Mario.
He has to talk to him.
Here we go.
It's like an old Indian lady taking her picture.
So you think he said show should be canceled? Right?
I want less conversation. Stop talking.
Should his show be canceled? Yeah, hey, should his show be canceled? Everyone's got to be fired.
Is that up for debate?
That's from a TMZ. That's from a TMZ paparazzo. He just wants to bust him.
Well, he's going to a new show, right?
Yeah.
He was on Extra. Now he's going somewhere else. Or
there's a new host of Extra. That's where I found this out.
Hollywood. And
you know who the new host is?
I forgot.
It's Billy Bush.
Oh, that's right.
Bush. He's making his comeback.
Bush. Billy Bush. They just cancel both because Billy Bush laughs at inappropriate things and Mario Lopez says uninformed things. So they should both be canceled and off with them.
Oh, Billy Boy.
I just want to know, has Mario Lopez accepted Karamo's Brown Twitter invite to have a further discussion?
But I never, in a million years, never dreamed there was a guy in a new Queer Eye and people were yelling, Karamo, Karamo, Karamo. To get a selfie with him or to find out if he would accept an apology about someone's public statement.
I really think it's more about getting a picture of the person going into Good Morning America.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, but except they're yelling Karamo.
Oh, more breaking news. Karamo's star, Jonathan Van Ness, who is a thing, apparently, has been way more critical of Mario Lopez since the comments he made.
Karamo's co-star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I guess Lopez made these. Hey, Lopez! I guess he made them back in June. Now it's just coming to light.
So we're getting
somebody finally listened to that podcast.
Yes,
30-day-old outrage.
There's a lag on podcast listeners.
I get it.
I'll have to look up Candace Owens' podcast. Oh, you suppose a lot of people listen to it?
Yeah, at least a month later. Put your money where your mouth is at Mario Lopez Extra. Spread some of your wealth and influence with this incredible organization at Trans Equity. Also, your apology was so hollow and clearly crafted by a publicist. I hate when
people
judge the sincerity of an apology.
Well, it's got to be really bad or not an apology, but oh my God.
How are you an ardent supporter of our community when you think like that?
Wait, is he really an ardent supporter? I mean, how ardent? I honestly, with gay people, transgender people, I support them, but I mean, to say I'm not ardent or I am ardent, I mean,
how much can you do? Just supports, you know, four of the five letters.
If everybody just goes with the flow, everything will be fine.
All the LGBTQ people you interview and you go talk to like this and phone in an apology? I see what he's saying. I'm not convinced. Takes more than an hour to gain the sensitivity you lack. And then in all caps he writes, gross! Gross!
Does Mario Lopez claim to be an ardent supporter?
Now, Google it.
All Mario has to do is refer people to his 1997 hit film, Breaking the Surface, the Greg Louganis story. He played Greg. So he's a supporter, absolutely.
Supporter of...
transgender people.
Transgender.
Ardent's a strong word.
Well, I think he's an ardent supporter of the LGBT.
There is a movie, a Mario Lopez movie, I need to see because I've never seen it. It's called Out of Time, and it looks like it's an action film. I want to see Mario in action.
So strong and muscular.
Yeah. Basically, all it is him walking back And everything that pops up.
Out of time.
I heard there, some people are saying that there is audio of him.
It's true. To Mexico. It's in his statement. So
saying he's playing Greg Louganis. Not Greg Louganis.
It's easy money.
That guitar riff.
FBI. I witnessed a crime. It was murder.
What?
Then he crossed the line. Oh, he's a badass.
He's gone way too far.
His hair's always perfect.
Explosion.
I've never seen him as an action star. But it makes sense. A.C. Slater, he was athletic.
He's a wrestler.
Wow, I love the music. Well,
here's his statement where he's walking back his comments when he said it, you know, they were insensitive.
Okay, great.
I have been and always will be an ardent supporter of the LGBT community, and I am going to use this opportunity to better educate myself. Moving forward, I will be more informed and thoughtful.
Sounds like you're straining to do some explaining.
But that answers your question. He is an ardent supporter.
He says he is. All right, here's the best of Drew and Mike. Mr. Skin announces Mr. Man. I know that got a lot of backbone or pushback, whatever you want to call it. Revisiting Sami. I'm so excited about that. I might listen to this. And then we got a road rage story.
Do you remember? Well. I don't know if you remember this guy, but the second you see his picture, remember the local guy, he was sitting in his car in traffic, and another guy just got out and started attacking his car.
Yes.
But this guy was a very good witness and wore a very loud and colorful shirt on Channel 7.
This is really cool. This is kind of cool.
You're good, dude.
It's all brought to you by Scott Kunith, our real estate sponsor. Scott's from Coldwell Banker. We're Manuel. He'd love to help you find your home or list your home or determine its value, or he'll do anything. He'll just talk in drops for fun. 248-797-7746 for realtor Scott Kunith, our friend and the sponsor of the best of Drew and Mike.
Dweller H.
Where are we with the amazing karate guy who spit during his story? Is he available? Is he ready to chat?
I don't know. Joe, do you know?
Yeah.
He's ready to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pumped? Oh, cool. This guy, I mean, if he gives us a bad interview, it's going to be our fault.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's a story in and of himself.
Now, Joey talked to him a little earlier, and he's pretty pumped up about being able to swear.
Is that so?
Yeah. He's been doing interviews all day with the news stations, and he hasn't been able to swear, so now he finally let loose.
He can let his hair down now and really spit it out.
His hair, by the way, he's got killer. It's almost a mullet, right? Don't you guys think that's almost a mullet?
No question.
He's got his most colorful shirt on. I'd love to see this guy's closet.
I didn't see anything wrong with his hair. I mean, it looked pretty normal to me.
No, it was great.
How's Mark been the last couple of weeks since I've been here, Drew?
Mark?
Forcing the bad words?
Bullshit.
Maybe, probably has.
Oh,
probably
knock it off.
I mean, if he was then, he is now.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that he was doing it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Clear to me.
That's all right.
You guys done piling on?
I miss you guys.
I've been piling on.
I miss you guys.
Miz, after that accusation, was that timing really appropriate?
It doesn't matter. My
emotive comment like that?
Yeah.
Shame. Hello?
Hey, is that Mike?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Mike, it's Drew and Mark and Maz. We're calling on our podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Doing great, man. We saw your story, and you were such a great story subject. I love the way you told the story, and Mark was talking about how you threw yourself across the hood of the car and all that. And
reenacted it.
You're one of the coolest story subjects I've ever seen.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Also, the way you spit, like, in the middle of the story was really cool. It didn't even bother me.
Well, you know what was funny? I had talked to the people on the morning show, and I was telling them that when they were filming me, they could have cut that out, you know, because, you know, they edit whatever they want. They
that in there. You know? It was so smooth, though. It was just right. It was almost like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real nice. Yeah. It was smooth. They have a real sharp, that shirt, too, huh?
Mark liked your shirt.
I wanted to see what else was in your closet. Did you pick that shirt out?
It was
just
a cool shirt.
Did you just happen to be wearing it?
I should have been wearing my Campbell Campus rookie year jersey signed by Ice. But what are you
going to do? Give some more volume, Jay. Yeah.
Wait, your rookie Eisenman signed
on? My rookie year, Campbell Conference rookie year jersey signed by Steve Eisenman. But, you know,
Campbell
I didn't.
Conference.
I got one. I got all kind of nice stuff.
So that's the orange one, right? Is that an orange one?
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah, that's it, man. With the stars, the black. Yep.
That was a cool jersey. Wait, why?
Yeah, I got Hall's Olympic jersey too.
Nice. Are you saying that you changed for the TV cameras?
Well, no, actually, I just, you know, put these clothes on. It wasn't just like I changed for it, but I put these clothes on, and it just happened to be this shirt I've been wearing a lot lately.
That was a cool shirt. Know, it's your go-to shirt right now.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I mean, it's not bad.
The whole story was, you were happening. It was a wild story, too, and you should tell the story. You're on 94, traffic comes to a stop, and some guy jumps on the hood of your car?
Yeah, me and my son were going to a job site for a guy named Andy, and we're on our way to Grosse Pointe Farms going down 94 eastbound, and next thing you know, we're the dead park. I mean, park, literally from 80 to nothing, and a Jaguar cuts me off. And, of course, you know.
I like the way you say Jaguar, too. That was the thing I liked about the story.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I was kind of making fun of the car in a way. But he was driving a pretty decent car. It wasn't a shabby one either. And out of nowhere, this guy, look what he had on, the bill of his hat, when he went to turn his head, knocked it off, and it kind of set him off. He looked like an idiot in front of his friends, I guess.
What happened?
He was wearing a baseball cap, and when he went to turn to look at me, the bill of the hat hit the window, and it knocked it off his head. So that spooked him. He flung out of the car, flew over the hood of my ride, pulled out a knife, and started trying to break my window.
Now, were you actually scared, or did you start laughing because he's stabbing a window?
I was actually scared, yeah, because I'm sitting in a car. I'm vulnerable. You know, I got my kid with me.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and the damnedest thing is, you know, you got people parked everywhere. Not one son of a bitch got out to help. And now, if I'd have been parked three cars back and I'd have been seeing this, I'd have been on. You know, I'd have got out and just fucked the guy up. But here's the deal. You know, nobody wants to do a damn thing. And I'm worried, my kid, the car pulled up 8 feet, you know, so I stepped out of gas, and we got up, and he's, like, now he's looking like a dick. Like, you know, I'm back here, he's up there, I go to open up the car door, I'm ready to fuck this guy up, and he took off, got in the car, and fled the scene.
Wow.
I swear to God, I didn't see that son of a bitch again. He's got a problem coming, I'll tell you that right now.
He wanted nothing to do with you, huh?
No, you know, I can only imagine, you know, why that window didn't break. I even said Dodge must be making a good window. So this guy hit it at least 10, 15 times. He was hitting it hard.
He was really hitting it hard, huh?
He looked like he was out to kill somebody, actually.
Kinda. And he got out of the Jaguar, right?
Yeah, he hopped out of the Jaguar. He's a 23-year-old kid, you know, a Mexican, black guy looking, you know, one of the cholo fuckers. You know, don't give a shit about life.
Right.
Obviously, you don't, because people that, you know, are right-minded, like you guys, me, you know, and everybody else, I guess, you know, that I know and hang out with, they don't go pulling shit like that.
No, no, it's nuts. And you think he was actually pissed because he turned his head and he knocked his hat off and his friends laughed at him.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, the whole time he's flipping me off, I'm flipping him off, and then the last time...
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Oh, wait.
Where'd the flipping off start?
Very conveniently left that out.
I might have flipped him off a little louder, too, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, and then when the guy, you know, after all the flipping off back and forth, he turned his head and his hat flipped off, and that's when he walked.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
The guy is not right in his mind at all.
What kind of hat did he have on? What kind of baseball team?
He had on a black baseball cap.
Oh, yeah, no logo?
No, probably polo.
He's on his own team,
man. Polo, did you hear that? Polo.
But Mike, do you take any responsibility because you got in a flip-off battle with him?
You know what? For somebody to come out of their car and come out with a knife like that, I mean, I wasn't planning on doing it.
Well, there's no excuse for doing that. But
I didn't know what would have set him off. That didn't make sense. So clearly, I mean, yeah, the reaction's ridiculous. But
right? No, I understand that. I just say, you know, I was telling him real loud, but my windows were off and the stereo was up real loud. I had the air conditioning on. I'm like, hey, fuck off, man! So I had to get up, kick your fucking ass, and he probably right, and that's it, you know. And then he got out and thought, okay, come on, let's go.
Okay, and that was for cutting you off, right?
Yeah, and I got, you know, I'm yelling back and forth, he's bitching, and then he just set him off. Like I said, when his hat flew off, he came out of the car, and I'm praying to God this guy, it looked like he appeared to me he was pulling out a gun.
Now, did you tell Channel 7 about the bird flipping stuff?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it.
They cut that out?
No, they actually. No,
they didn't use that.
I even talked about it on the radio today.
Because that's really funny. I was thinking, God, what's this nutcase just jumps on this guy's car? I didn't get any indication there was a road rage going on, which is what would have seemed more likely. So now I feel like I know the story. I really understand the story a little better. Anyway.
Yeah, well,
not like that he had a right to do that.
everybody was traveling at such a high rate of speed, and it came to a screeching halt, and then he cut into my lane, and I had to get over because he was going to hit me. Yeah, so I got over and almost hit the lady in front of me. And then when he scooted up a little bit, I looked over at him, and he had a big old smile on his face, you know. So I flipped him off, and then he flipped me back off. And the next thing, you know, I'm yelling and screaming, and he can't hear me, obviously. But then he, you know, yelled and screamed back and finally said, you know, fuck it, I'm going to get off, you know, I'm going to do some damage to this guy.
Now, Mike, how did it resolve itself? Because it's not like traffic just started up and you guys went away.
No. Actually, the car in front of me, my son said it had pulled up about 8 feet. He said, pull up, Dad. So I stopped on it, pulled up real fast. And now he's back there, like behind my car now. So he got back in his ride and cut across traffic and got on 96. 96 was open, but it was backed up at least a quarter mile before you got to 96. So he went all the way on the other side of the freeway and cut off the shoulder of the road. Well, I'm stuck over here by the wall.
Now, do you think, did this guy, did you give him any?
I called 911. I called 911.
Okay. Could he see you on the phone?
You know, you can do anything with these computers that make phone calls. So I got a hold of the state police and, you know, talked to them. I was asking about the cameras that they have on the freeway. I find it stupid you can't rewind the camera. I mean, they're trying to tell me, so I called Channel 7 to find out the real deal, and they said you can't. If there's ever an accident that occurs on a freeway and a tanker,
you can't rewind the camera.
I don't know. They said what happens is MDOT has to turn that camera recording the incident.
What would be the point of the camera?
All those cameras are just taking live shots.
Maybe you could pause it.
Yeah, so if they see it live.
And I'm thinking in my mind with the technology we got, how can you not miss an asshole parked on 94 hopping out of a car? You cannot miss this show. You couldn't miss this son of a bitch. I mean, you know what I'm thinking? These cameras probably home in, got his license plate, everything, we're golden. And I come to find out we're not that educated. Come on.
Did you get his plate?
No. That's the one thing I couldn't do because I never, like I say, he cut me off and then I was in front of him. And then when he pulled up alongside of me, that's as far as he got. And then I pulled up further, and I never got a chance. Well, you know what blows my mind? Like I said, you got all these other people on the freeway. You think somebody could have made a phone call? There's a guy got out of a Jaguar. Here's the plate number.
Jaguar.
You know?
You son of a bitch. With the Jaguar.
I would have. I mean, if I would have seen something like that going on, I may even have got out.
I know. I love this because I'm telling you, if this ever happens to me, I want you to be two cars behind me so I know I've got Mike coming to help kick some ass with me.
Sliding across the cars.
Shut up. I'm going to kick 100% of your ass. Yeah.
I mean, I would be talking real shit if I knew you were two cars behind
me. Michael behind you? Absolutely.
Because Mike's definitely getting out to help.
What is like the goat? I mean,
you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
What's your level of karate? What, I mean, is it taekwondo? Is it karate?
Actually, I started taking taekwondo when I was 9 years old, and I took a 12-month course, and then literally learned the rest on my own.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Wait, but then you don't get credit. You don't get credit for the proper belts if you learned it on your own.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because on the news they said he's certified in martial arts. But hey, anybody that
they said black belt, I think, didn't they say black belt?
Well, I beat the shit out of a black belt one time. So I would consider myself a black belt. But I, like I said, I self taught myself. But you know, it don't mean nothing to me. My kids are fast, quick, and that's it.
Wait, I'm intrigued by this. I think
who's this black belt?
As a matter of fact, they called in today on a talk show and started telling some old stories. They said, "Yeah, this guy literally got into it with 9 Caldinians." Now that was 20 years ago. Now I beat shit out of people that night. They were beating up 2 girls.
You beat up 9 Chaldeans?
That's not a joke, dude. It happened on Easter Sunday. I was a kid, young, and somebody spotted me and said, "Hey, these girls are getting beat up down the street," you know? So I went down there, and I'm like, "Hey, what the, you know, pick on somebody your own size." So these are Chaldeans. You guys are from out of town, you know? And
If we could see a replay of you beating up the 9 Chaldeans, would it look like a scene in a Billy Jack movie?
It was something. I don't know about Billy Jack because somebody did say that on Facebook today. We got a Billy Jack in Michigan, thank God. But I don't know about Billy Jack, but yeah, it was a trip, man.
Well, beating up 9 guys, I mean, that only happens.
Well, I got hit
did you
too,
take your shoes off?
No, they had Nike prints all over.
Billy Jack took his shoes off.
What was the stupid song?
Yeah, Billy Jack did. Billy Jack did.
Oh,
yeah.
On the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides
one
away.
One tin soldier.
Billy Jack took his off, but I left Nike prints all over these shoes. I left my Nike.
Who played Billy Joe?
There were a lot of spin moves and a lot of kicks and stuff in that when you kick those nine guys' asses?
Oh, he would say I did a reverse round, broke guys' three ribs. Whoa! You know, when it first happened, I knocked the first three guys. They were down. They were out within 4 seconds, all three of them.
Nine of them
came out of nowhere. And I was standing on the middle of Main Street in downtown Plymouth trying to defend myself. These guys were in a roadhouse.
I want to follow Mike around and see if somebody road raised him because I want to see him beat somebody's ass.
I never understand this, though.
Billy Jack in the Detroit metro area, and I didn't even know it.
Sure, it doesn't make sense. When it's one on nine, is it like a movie where each one of the nine goes at you one at a time, or do they all swarm you?
Oh, they never swarm. They're all scared after he kicks the first guy in the face.
I was throwing kicks so fast and spinning, man. They were like staying at
Billy Jack. I'm telling you, it's like a Billy Jackson.
Or Miyagi. Yeah. Miyagi took out the five guys by himself, protecting Danielson.
That's right.
Oh, Danielson, yeah.
See, it's still teaching us lessons.
I think, did Channel 7 say that you are a black belt?
No, they didn't.
They didn't say that?
They just said I'm trying to figure out where
martial arts or something.
I was certified martial arts.
Okay, because I was thinking you were a black belt. And I don't know. I'm figuring I must have heard that.
These nine guys, but you also beat up a guy who's certified a black belt. What's that story?
Well, I mean, a buddy of mine was over at the Red Roof Inn, and he said these guys took his wallet. And I said, well, what business is it of mine? You know, do you want to get me out of the house for what? For me to go, you know. You got two guys that, you go, yeah, but dude, they're scared of you, man. They know who you are. They know what you can do. And I go, the one guy's a black belt martial arts. The other guy's a purple belt martial arts. Dude, all you got to do is walk in. Trust me. So I went in there, and one guy that was a black belt started some shit, and I just bap, 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 and that was over. And the other guy said, here's his wallet back. I got to go, man.
Oh, my God.
It's Billy Joel scene, except it's later in the movie.
Billy Jack, yeah, wow.
Billy Joel. Not a Billy Joel scene at all.
It's nice to know karate. It's basically made for self-defense. But when you need to use it, it's good to know. But I haven't, honestly, been in a fight with anybody in probably over 12 years.
That's too bad, because I would love to have seen. I wish they had some footage of you kicking that guy's ass on 94. It sounds like he needed his ass kicked.
Who's your favorite Who's your favorite martial arts guy?
That would have to be, I'd have to say Seagal.
Oh, really?
Seagal.
Yeah.
Really?
Van Damme's not bad either. I like Van Damme. Oh.
Steven Seagal now or Steven Seagal like 12 years ago?
Back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day, Seagal. Yeah. Like
from
today, I don't even know
the three-word title movies.
Do you have a favorite movie from amongst his movies?
Oh, easily.
Oh, God, man. That one when he keep a cool head, man. You know, when he killed the two twin brothers, what the heck was the name of that movie?
Hmm.
They were reggae dudes.
License to Kill or something like that.
Yeah, something. That was a Bond movie.
Brandon's looking
up.
Yeah, it's a Bond movie, man.
It's another Kill one with Seagal.
Brandon's looking.
They're all like three words except for Under Siege. Which Under Siege isn't that the boat one?
Yeah, Under Siege is the one where he's on a boat. Yeah,
yeah, that's the best one. He beats up the Pittsburgh Penguin. Isn't it? What's the hockey one?
Is it Marked for Death?
Yeah, the hockey one was phenomenal when the helicopter went through to the ice.
That was badass. Remember he beat up the mascot?
Chelios, man, was out there.
Oh, beat up the mascot.
I was watching the mascot. Man, I'm watching Chelios play during his game, during the movie. I know it wasn't real, but it was kind of cool, man. You know?
People are saying sudden death, possibly.
Sudden death. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
No, that is
well,
I tell you, were you a big fan of Jeff Speakman? Remember Jeff Speakman?
I have.
Jeff Speakman was another karate movie guy at the time who did like one flick. What?
Bruce Lee.
The Perfect Weapon was Jeff Speakman. Do you remember that movie?
I know, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Speakman, who's that?
He was another one of Van Damme, Steven Seagal, but he only had like two movies in there. Like, Jeff Speakman, that's a stupid name.
Don't bring up these cult people, Mark. We're having a serious conversation with an
ass kicker. How much Mike knew about Seagal? I thought maybe no Speakman.
I'm looking at Jeff Speakman. That's funny.
Perfect Weapon.
I've never heard of this guy.
By the way, my movie was Hard to Kill. Hard to kill.
Yeah.
Hard to kill with Seagal.
Go rent The Perfect Weapon tonight.
Thanks, Brandon.
Maybe you'll learn something, both of you.
Hey, listen, man, appreciate the time and sharing the story with us. That's some wild stuff.
I appreciate it, man. You guys have been cool, man.
You were made for the podcast, no doubt.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Okay. And take it easy out there.
See you, Mike.
Yeah, always, man.
Thanks, brother.
Okay.
Cool. Yes, sir. Nothing but love, man. All right.
Bye-bye.
You know, we also want to try and find...
That was gross.
We got that email from the former neighbor of Sami, Really? And I sent her an email or a text today, and I have not heard back, but maybe
that's because Sami intercepted it.
Probably so.
Marcus, and I don't mean like intercepting it out of the cyber. I mean, he picked up her phone and just deleted it. that's how Sami works.
That's a great point.
Sami keeps deleting messages from my phone.
And that was really the best part of the whole thing. It was a fun story. It was exciting. It was interesting. It was, of course, these people were miserable. They were being so put out, you know, just when they're watching their favorite television show, the TV would cut out on important long-distance calls. Suddenly people would appear on the line, and their privacy was ruined. Their entertainment was ruined. Everything was destroyed. Mm-hmm. But then to find out it's their 15-year-old son just basically screwing with their equipment.
And they thought it was a poltergeist, right?
Yeah, they really made it sound like it was something incredibly nefarious. they needed to bring in all kinds of experts to figure out what this genius Sami had come up with, this diabolical system.
And it was some pest just tripping breakers.
Yeah, it was their kid picking up the other extension. He was. That was what he was doing. He was picking up the extension.
Oh my gosh, Jay, can you pop me up if I'm up? I don't know if this. I might have to. Oh, here we go.
The Sami incident.
Yeah, that just something wasn't right.
It sounded like somebody was on the other extension. If I talked to my girlfriend, I would hear a click, and yeah. I'd say to her, "Well, who's on the other line?"
She'd
say, "No one here."
Picking up the phone.
Soon they say it was more than clicking. The phone wouldn't ring. Incoming calls would go right to voicemail. The Tamais would get disconnected when they tried to call out.
Yeah.
But that mystery was mild compared to what happened when Dwayne and Debbie went on vacation and left Debbie's friend Cheryl McCandless to house sit. Keep an eye on Debbie's 15-year-old son, Billy. At first, Cheryl had trouble with the power going on and off. The power company couldn't find anything wrong. Then the password changed on the voicemail.
We couldn't pick up her messages. I called Bell. I talked to a supervisor there, and I said, how can this happen?
And what did the phone company say?
She said, it's impossible. Somebody can't get in there and change your PIN number.
Someone started making noises on the phone, and Cheryl started keeping a log.
The Seiko calls themselves Sami. It was threats and obscene calls from him. It got to the point that anyone I talked to or called, he would cut in the line and burp, grunt, and carry on. Unbelievable.
Cheryl says she was freaked out by this fanatic caller. Told her he was watching the house. By the end of the week, someone had cut the phone lines. When the Tamais got back from vacation, they almost didn't believe Cheryl. But within hours, Debbie says she talked to Sami herself.
Whoa. What did it sound like?
It was freaky. The first time I heard it, I'll never forget it. My hair stood on ends. My arms were, I was
really?
Goosebumps.
I don't find
it was
that
just
voice to be that freaky.
The meanest voice.
Is this possible? Which Debbie says she's got the tapes to prove it. She played them for Dateline.
Heads up. I know you are gone today.
Who was he? And why was he doing this?
I know you were
Debbie says she came right out and asked him.
And he says, I just want a friend.
Some friend.
Hello?
In under 4 months, Sami has turned the Tamais life upside down. Manipulating their phones, their electricity, their life. He can use their number to call and harass others. One day, Debbie tried to order a pizza.
And he cut in saying he wanted a turkey, a partridge, and a pear tree. And
had
to say to the guy, I'll just send my husband down to order it and pick it up.
Another time, they say Sami
he was
got
so
inside
bummed,
the
he had to
TV
go to
set.
Pizza place to pick it up.
So you turn on the television,
father,
and you check the listings on the satellite dish to see what's on.
Oh no!
And favorite list, and it says
I put Sami. Bye-bye. Yeah, it said Sami.
Sami changed the ringer on their phone, so it sounded like this.
It's so obviously an Sami! Inside joke.
I don't think I can miss the phone ringing now.
Sami.
When the Tamais dialed the police, they say Sami would disconnect the call. The local phone company changed their number, even rewired their house several times.
What?
Sami just kept calling back.
It's almost like he's two steps ahead of everybody.
Worst of all, the Tamais say, Sami figured out how to listen to conversations inside the house. Even record them directly into voicemail. The Tamais insist Sami tells them things he could only find out by hearing every word they say.
Because he's in the
house. Their bank card PIN number to Debbie's birth date.
So you walk around this house every day thinking that you are being monitored.
Right.
But this Sami is eavesdropping.
Yeah. Well, we whisper. Pronounce his name.
We whisper most of the time if it's anything.
What kind of life is that? But
there's not.
So your place of refuge, your home,
isn't
where people typically hide out from the weirdness of the world.
It seems so
it's supposed
obvious.
To be your home, your kingdom. You come home after work and you feel great. I can relax and unwind. I come home after work and I'm nervous, worrying about what's going to happen next.
Controlling the TV
so
set,
innocent.
Eavesdropping through the phone line.
There was nothing
it's a
that
fascinating
bad that
mystery.
Happened.
But as her hair of Sami's exploits began to spread across two countries, attention started to focus
this?
On the Tavai family themselves.
Yeah. He's doing a hell of a job.
And some people began to wonder if they were telling
Sami,
the whole story.
What are you doing here?
I'm not aware of anything similar to this within the province of Ontario, actually.
Debbie Minot is a spokeswoman for the Ontario Provincial Police.
Have you cleared the family, the Tavai family?
All of our options are open. We're
see,
still looking
like
at everything.
New.
So you haven't ruled them out yet?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can you see why somebody would say, hey, this has got to be a hoax?
Yeah.
There is no way that somebody could do that.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing if it happened somewhere else. It wouldn't have happened to me. But there's been, like, even reporters here that have talked to him.
Two Canadian reporters told Dateline they did, in fact, talk to a person calling himself Sami. And the
Sami
police
did
confirmed
interviews.
Sami has interrupted phone conversations they've had with Debbie.
What do you want to talk about?
Whatever.
You want to give yourself up, get this over with?
I can't do that.
Why not?
I could go to jail. Well, because I go to jail.
Let me ask you straight out.
Sure.
Did you guys manufacture this?
If I had the technology to do this, I'd be a millionaire somewhere.
No, a 15-year-old son?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Teenage boys will...
Yeah. You know, at the very beginning...
Play pranks.
At the very beginning, I asked him. I said, are you joking around? If you are, enough's enough.
What are you talking about?
And he was like, no, Mom, I'm scared.
Nice. I wouldn't do this to my own family.
They're Sami.
So far, no
nice
one,
betting.
Not the police, not the utility companies, not
they're
private surveillance teams, or even a former member of the Canadian Mounties has been able to find this not-so-friendly ghost, though not for the lack of trying. The Tamais believe Sami got into their house while it was under construction last fall and planted devices they ripped off walls
in.
Trying to find. Or they think he could have tapped into a line down the street with so many wires above ground in this still unfinished subdivision. In fact, experts tell us with all the digital and computer technology these days, it is theoretically possible.
No, it's not.
We were intrigued enough with this mystery to take our own shot at ghostbusting. Dateline, along with the Discovery Channel, hired a private security firm recommended by the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service
with a little vehicle?
To figure out how Sami
no,
does it.
No, they already showed him, though.
What is
just
the gizmo
last night,
out there?
After more than 6 hours, the team emerged
like
and announced they couldn't find anything out of the ordinary.
A wave on it?
Debbie and Dwayne were devastated, already worried that millions of people think they've lost their minds.
Home.
I waited for 2 months before going public to beg for outside help because I knew there'd be skeptics out there.
The last time Sami called the Tamais was almost 3 weeks ago.
It's also in
they
Canada.
Say he told them he was going on vacation for a couple of weeks.
Wouldn't it be okay with you if he just disappeared, never bothered you again?
No. Because it's a not knowing. It's not knowing why or how he did it. And
until he moves
wondering
out for
if
good.
He's going to pop back up.
Whoever or whatever Sami
what?
Is, the Tamais think
what
he's close by,
whatever
probably
Sami
in the
is.
Neighborhood. Police have interviewed many of the neighbors, but have identified no suspects.
You are kidding me.
So whatever happened to Stone?
Stone Phillips.
Stone Phillips, right.
What happened to that dude?
Good question.
That's funny, though. You know,
Sami, is he just grown up and, like, moved
terrorizing
on?
Terrorizing other people.
Well, that's what I really was hoping to find out from the neighbor. Is Sami around? Is he, you know, is the family, did they send him to boarding school or something? Or what did they do with Sami?
Yeah, know. Did he have to, I mean, did they even
is he
discipline?
Grounded?
They
is he still
like...
grounded?
Hansen hit on an interesting point there because it was like 97. It was the early age of all this like new technology. No wonder people fell for it.
They changed the ringer on their phone and they're scared to death.
He entered his favorite TV stations.
I know, it's hilarious.
Satellite.
Sami.
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 I can't
the Somster.
I can't do that.
I can't do
I
that.
Can't do jail.
Get this Christina Henderson answer. And it turns out there's other nudity news, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very important breaking nudity news. As there always seems to be with Skin.
Keeps it current, very fresh.
I don't think I've ever called him and had him not add to whatever my question was.
What? Tom Brady was nude.
Yeah, how hot was that?
Pretty hot.
Well, that would be handled by Mr. Man. Or is it Mr. Man? Isn't that Skittles?
Yeah, it's a subsidiary.
I don't want to bum him out.
Oh, Mr. Man, I think he's pretty proud of Mr. Man. Oh, Jay, are you calling? You know what? He gave me a number.
Oh, don't ruin the theater.
Did you dial that number?
Not his Celica phone. His Toyota Celica phone?
No. Skin has been nowhere.
I'm glad someone got that reference.
What?
He's been.
Is it a Celica?
Yeah. Who called it that? If you remember that, it's going to blow my mind.
Is that chick? Joel will remember because we used to. Yeah. It was a house. That's right.
Housekeeper for some guy who got fined for flicking off some guy in Brazil.
Wait, and did she say I'm on my Celica phone or
yes.
He's on his Celica phone?
Celephone, that's right.
Celephone.
Toyota Celica.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sorry about
Tom
that.
Tom Celica phone?
Just gapped on that phone number thing.
Hey, did Tom Selleck get a divorce?
I don't know, but I wish he would divorce food because he's humongous.
Oh, Trudy.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah, I thought he had just got a divorce
from
recently.
Connie?
Huh?
The lovely Connie Selica? Isn't that his wife?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Wait, who did...
What's up, boys?
This is really stupid. Skin!
Hey, how you doing?
Skin will know. He'll know the answer.
What's going on?
Did Tom Selleck get a divorce?
You were calling my cell phone.
I know. Sorry, Jay just started dialing. I assumed he had the right number, and then I realized you texted me a number, so therefore it was going to be something different, and I just completely forgot. But sorry.
No, it's totally fine.
And I was just saying before we got you on the phone that I don't think I've ever called you with a nudity question when you didn't have something to add to the conversation, like, hey, you know, speaking of nudity, there's something else we should probably talk about.
Yeah.
And in fact, but let's talk about Christina Hendricks first. How many questions do you get about her? Because she's somebody who people would love to see, but she's just never been out there.
No, and she hasn't, which is kind of a bummer because as a fan of Mad Men like I was, to see those monster cans so many times on the show, it's just one of those where you just deserve to see them.
Yeah. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Stop teasing
no,
us.
No, and you know, she had done some stuff. There was a television series back in the early 2000s called Firefly. It had a cult following. You guys probably don't even remember it, but she was a...
It's a Josh Whedon show, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and she...
But it was unsuccessful enough that she should have dumped her rack out there to make the show do better.
Well, they didn't have nudity on that show, but she had a couple scenes where she was in a bra or like in some really sexy outfits, and it's definitely worth checking out because it's like there's a scene where she's topless in front of a guy, but the camera's from behind, so you can't really see anything.
But they must be bulging off to the sides, aren't they?
Well, she's got swingers, so you know what I'm talking about, where they swing from back and forth.
Okay.
But, you know, technically we can't call that nudity because you don't see nips.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get it.
There was some...
But yeah, I agree. Now, a couple years ago, you know, remember when the fappening happened?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest day of my life.
Yeah, we had to see Justin Verlander's ass.
Yeah.
And something else.
Yeah, well, they... Christina Hendricks, allegedly, and the only reason I say allegedly is she's one of the few actresses who was smart enough when she took her cell phone pictures to not include her face in the pictures. So it's very difficult to say. Based on everything, my guess is it probably is her, but it's just two boobs with these big pink nips. And, you know, you can't say 100% for sure, but allegedly it was taken from her cell phone a few years ago.
There was a report, I don't know where this was, but said her breasts were very veiny. Is that true?
No one makes a report
well,
like that.
When they're that well, big, you need some blood flow.
Exactly. That's what the report said.
It's medical. Yeah.
Well, plus her skin's very pale.
Yes.
Right. When you have pale skin and big boobs,
bad
hard
mix.
To hide the vein.
Yeah.
Right.
See? Yeah.
See?
But most breasts are abnormally pasty, light-colored anyway. So, I mean,
right.
Would veins really be that much worse than most people?
Yes.
I don't
think
so.
When you're real white, though, the blue shows through a little easier. So.
So now I'm looking at pictures, the headless shots that I think we're talking about here, and you believe that is her rack?
Well, I want to say this again. Allegedly, the fappening happened, she was included in the mix. The only difference is, and there were tons of girls, if you remember, you know, Jennifer Lawrence got nipped the most, but all these girls that this happened to, a lot of them had like on their phone other pictures of them, you know, in their car, in their, you know, at parties.
Of course.
And then you'd show the nude scene, so you was pretty confident it was her. With her, it was only the nude scene, but just the breast with no face attached to it. So, in fairness, you do not see the face with boobs in the Christina Hendricks cell phone leaked pictures. When you look at the size of those cans and the nips, you got to think probably her.
They look like they're trying to look out and see what's going on.
Yeah, they do look like they're peeking out. They're
curious.
Peek-a-boo.
They're curious.
They're curious looking.
Well, nobody's claimed that rack like, you know, like Al Qaeda or ISIS would claim something. Nobody's claimed those boobs, so let's just attribute it to her.
Well, right? we can only allegedly believe they're hers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big proponent of being 100% sure. And again, since you don't see the face with the body, we got to give the caveat that, you know, allegedly her boobies.
And let me ask you this: as far as the pictures that this person took, being the headless shots, would that be someone possibly or allegedly like Christina Hendricks deciding that? Okay, I'll send you the pictures, but I'm not going to attach my head because if these ever got out there.
I don't think so. I think it just so happened she just took some pics. She just took some pics of her rack popping out of that white thing that, you know, it just so happened she focused only on the rack. You know, you got to remember, her rack is so huge it takes up all the camera space. There wasn't room for her face.
I know, you're right.
Thank God for 16 by 9.
Mr. Skin, could you put a side-by-side picture of Christina in a low-cut dress next to that and determine by the cleavage depths and...
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, we could. The problem is she didn't...
The hang?
Surprisingly, she hasn't done
the angle
enough of that to do a careful analysis. And you know how I'm very careful about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So she really...
How many would you need?
As incredible as her rack is... She really hasn't done a lot of bra shots or
low-cut dresses.
You know, where you sexy shots where we'd have like a lot of different angles to do a 100%. You know, we're like I said, it's very important that we analyze this properly, and I think we need a little more data to do it right.
Okay, how many rack pictures would the skin laboratories need to do a proper examination?
and
low-cut. Drew, it's the different angles. You know, you want to be side boob, under boob, over. You know, we want a couple different things just to make sure without the face that we've got the breast, you know.
Why don't we just call John Hamm and ask if they're...
I don't think John Hamm got anywhere near those, to be honest.
He didn't?
They wouldn't let him.
Didn't he get near everything on that show? You'd think
he
would, but...
he should have.
Who is she? She's married, isn't she, or she was?
I think she's married, yes. I think she is. I don't know for sure, but I think I remember her being married. Mm.
Can I ask you about where some celebrities have been nude from TV shows that have popped up?
Yeah. Are you a fan? What, you got some new shows you're watching?
I do. I like Orphan Black, and she won the Emmy, so Tatiana Maslany.
Well, I got some interesting news for you about her. Yeah, so she won the best, what was it, best
actress.
Drama Emmy.
Yeah.
And she's a Canadian actress. And she's got the hardest name to pronounce of any actress. No one knows how to properly pronounce her name. But she's really sexy. And on Orphan Black, because it's on BBC America, they allow a little nudity. Not like boob nudity, but a lot of like butt nudity. So she showed her butt in the pilot episode and a number of other episodes. But, no pun intended, my skin scouts were at the Toronto Film Fest in September.
Yeah.
And she has a movie called Two Lovers and a Bear, which will be out. And if you're a Tatiana Maslany fan from Orphan Black, this will be take the few butt shots she's had on Orphan Black and times it by 10. This is like going to be awesome nudity. Lots of breast shots, butt shots, sex scenes. Everyone will be very happy if you're a fan of the show and her. So that won't be out till 2017, but we're tracking it, and I will let you guys know immediately. Mark, especially you, nice. Because you're a big fan.
Well, do you like her? I mean, I think she's got a great butt.
Yeah, listen, if you're good enough to win an Emmy, you're that good an actress, and you do nude scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Another one, I've been watching Mr. Robot, too, so there's Portia Doubleday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's actually, before this show, I really didn't know much about her.
Mm-hmm.
She did, like, these shows about two or three years ago where she was in a bikini, she was in a bra, but she's she did that. I remember she did a nice lesbian scene on Mr. Robot, but as far as nudity goes, she's been very stingy, which is kind of a bummer.
Stingy, bummer,
yeah.
Man.
But she is she's very cute. Isn't she smaller?
Yeah, she's
kind of short.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but she's a blonde, and that Mr. Robot's a cool show. But everything she's done so far has been like bikini or underwear, and other than the lesbian scene she did with I think it was Frankie Shaw on Mr. Robot, and it was a non-nude lesbian kiss. That's about it for you. So no nudity from Doubleday.
Are all your programmers really
into
Mr.
Robot? But her grandfather, Abner Doubleday.
Gross. Are all your programmers really into Mr. Robot?
Yeah, our guys love that show there because I have so many like geeky dudes that work here. Yeah,
it's a great show though.
Yeah,
Skin. There are just so many great TV shows. I mean, nudity aside, there's so many TV shows. It's like, you know, I just recorded Baskets a couple times.
Louis Anderson. You know, just recently, have you guys checked out this Quarry on Cinemax?
No.
It's there are three episodes in. It airs Friday night on Cinemax. It's about a Vietnam vet in 1972, you know, returning from the war. And
don't tell me there's another great show I have to watch.
Well, here's the only thing I can say about it. The first three episodes have been chock full of good nudity, and it's from the guy that created Banshee, Greg Yatness, who, by the way, when Banshee was rocking and rolling and we'd give it Anatomy Awards and talk about it on the radio, he'd always, like, be so excited on Twitter that Mr. Skin was giving him all these awards. So I really dig the guy. And I didn't even know when Quarry came out. One of my guys said, oh, yeah, that's the guy from Banshee. I didn't even know. I was like, wow, this show's great. They've had some really nice nude scenes in the first three episodes. And anyway, it's called Quarry. It's on Cinemax Friday nights. You guys might like that show. You know, Masters of Sex just started their fourth season. Mm-hmm. And there are three episodes in. And kind of a funny thing happened. I didn't even know it when I saw it, but if you saw Sunday night's episode, their third episode of their fourth season, there was a scene where there was this girl in bed with her husband, and they were, like, watching behind the window. And her name's Amanda Quaid, and she was her husband was in the spanking. And it was a non-nude scene, but it was you know, sexy. And then my guys were like, oh, wait a second, Amanda Quaid, that's Randy Quaid's daughter.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yes. Now, can you imagine Thanksgiving at the Quaid?
No.
Have you been following any of the craziness going on over there?
Evie and
Randy's lost his mind completely.
Oh, my God.
Does he even live here in the United States, or is he still a fugitive?
Last I remember, he was in Canada with some other crazy woman. They were, like, posting videos. That's the last I've heard from
the porno guy. Stuff, right?
Yeah, like weird stuff.
Like
really
gross
dad.
Porn?
Of course it's gross. Randy Quaid.
So Amanda Quaid. Amanda Quaid.
Oh, how weird.
Is the girl from that was on Masters of Sex doing a guest bit getting spanked on Sunday night is Randy Quaid's daughter, which is pretty crazy.
How's the daughter look? He's
like
Dennis. Isn't he banging?
Good. She looked good. Looked good.
The stuff that Randy's been putting out is of him and his wife, right?
Yeah.
And
that stuff
point.
Is repulsive.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's like, you know, like weird, like beard. He's all, they've gone off the deep end. But yeah, could you imagine that literally is the daughter of Randy Quaid.
You know, I don't expect to be an expert on this, but what is wrong with Randy Quaid? I know he's got a big battle with the government, the IRS, and is it all that kind of wacko stuff, or does anybody know what's wrong with him?
Yeah, you guys might know that more than I do. I mean,
I know he's got a battle with the government that's really...
I think he's a little nuts.
Out there, yeah.
Weren't there drugs at first with him and her?
Allegedly.
And hold off and, you know...
Yeah. I don't know what... Did they say what drugs?
They fused their weirdness together and then they began...
They fused their weirdness.
Good. And then they began directing it towards, you know, people around them. So they were paranoid about lawyers and entertainment agents.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Killing people.
Yeah,
killing people.
This has been going on for like 10 years. Like, I remember he had a lawsuit against Brokeback Mountain. I don't know why, but...
Not enough sex in the movie. He wanted more.
Yeah. And then he went to Canada for a while and then he... got arrested in Vermont or something like that.
He stiffed a hotel in, where was that?
He stiffed a few people.
That's the worst crime of all.
Absolutely. Yes,
it is. Is there a Yelp review?
No, but they had. It was. I think it was in California. That was on in TMZ where they were like staying in a hotel. I mean, they owed like
a lot
of money. It wasn't like one night type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, another new show that starts Sunday. I think it's this Sunday on HBO is
Westworld.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Oh, I haven't watched the episodes yet, but my guys were. My skin scouts tell me that there's definitely some nice nudity in the first. In the first episode,
well,
and
the main stars are no strangers to nudity.
Rachel Wood, yeah, and she actually is supposed to be nude in the first episode, which is really cool. And now I haven't seen it; I'm just hearing this, but you know, because she's one of the robots, so they'll treat her like a robot while they're putting her together. But here's what's cool about Westworld: HBO's like they know that they have one more season of Game of Thrones, and they're kind of banking on this. Being the next Game of Thrones. Now, do you remember the movie in 1973 with Yul Brynner, Westworld?
Yeah.
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 Well, this is what it's based on, how that, you know, people come and it's this futuristic thing where they have these robots that are so lifelike that you could recreate, the old West, and you could go there and have shootouts and ride horses and have sex with these robots, and they're like real people, and it's a futuristic fantasy thing, and supposedly they got the budget of Game of Thrones to really do it. Now, I've heard that the first four episodes, like, it's photographed, like, it's beautiful cinematography and everything, but it's a little clunky as far as the first couple of episodes, as far as the, you know, the storyline and all that, but I've heard the nudity's fantastic. I know I'll be all over that when it comes out on Sunday night.
Speaking of HBO, did you watch The Night Of?
Loved it.
Now, the ending was a little meh, but great show. But the lawyer in that show, who is she, and has she been in anything else?
Oh, no. She, if you're wondering if she's been nude, no, she has not. I can't remember her name, but yeah, she has not been naked.
Okay.
And,
skin tone sounds a little snippy about that.
Well, she hasn't been nude, so why would he know?
I'm a little upset about it, of course, but I got to say, the very first episode of The Night Of, anyone wants to go back and watch that, it is one of the greatest episodes of television I've ever seen, the very first one. And I thought the thing throughout was very, very good, but it, like you said, it was so hard to keep the momentum, man. It was... Yep. It was only like 9 or 10 episodes, but
what's it about?
It was so
I'm not familiar with it.
End.
That's the show Charlie Sheen told us he was watching that he really liked. It's just it was a one-off kind of like mini series about a guy who was accused of a crime. And I mean, the only problem with that first episode is I was like, well, he did it. I mean, that's enough evidence right there.
I know
you don't really know if he did it or not.
They left it kind of open whether he did it or not.
Yeah.
Skin, you sent us something to click on here, and there seems to be a number of beautiful nude women when I clicked on it. What am I looking at?
Well, there's my skin guys here at the Mr. Skin offices were Netflix just released a new series called Easy, and it's I think it's 8-episode series. And you know, when Netflix or Amazon, they release these original series, they release them all at the same time, which becomes a very busy day here at the Mr. Skin offices because, you know, they have to binge watch looking for all the nude scenes. Well, this Easy is, it's about a group of friends living in Chicago, kind of fumbling through love and sex and technology. And it's done as an anthology where each episode has completely different casts. So they're going through and they're like, wow, each episode has some great nudity. Then they stumble on episode 6. And you guys will know all these players. It's about a couple. Orlando Bloom and Malin Ackerman are the main couple. And they go on Tinder and meet a babe, Kate McCoochie's her name. And you might know her. She's the dark-haired member of Garfunkel and Oates. It's an L.A. comedy folk music duo that they have a big internet following. And
Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah, it's a big internet. It's an internet thing. You probably wouldn't know, but people do know it. Well, anyway, let's say this. If this isn't the best nude scene of the year, it's definitely in the top 5. But if it's not the best nude scene of the year, it's definitely the best menage a trois of the year. It's Orlando Bloom Malin Ackerman, who people would know from Watchmen. Mm-hmm. She was also Damian Lewis's wife on Billions, that television show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous. And it is so hot, and the scene goes on forever, and it's this great, great nudity. So, like I said, we're big, big fans of this easy. Plus, the other episodes had really good nudity, like Elizabeth Reeser, who's in the she's the mom in the Twilight movie. She's nude in the first episode, and a bunch of other girls. So, big fans of this easy, a new Netflix series that was released last week.
Is Orlando Bloom nude in this, then?
Truly. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you.
I'm sorry, is that protocol violation?
Was it not a couple of weeks ago yes. where Orlando Bloom was with Katy Perry and the paddleboard?
Yeah, but I got to it too late. It was pixelated.
That was nude. He was nude, but no, I saw him.
Oh, let
I
me
saw
just tell you,
dick.
Drew. Yeah. He didn't need a paddle for the paddleboard.
I know.
That was his rudder.
But I got to tell you, that whole thing was, I mean, I felt awkward looking at it, not just because it was a nude guy, but it was like Katy Perry did not look happy to me. I mean, she's with a guy who's nude, and she's not nude.
She
it just seemed weird.
For his dick.
It was weird. Why was he nude and she not nude?
Exactly. I mean, if anything, it's the reverse, always.
I know. It's always the girl nude and the guy, yeah.
What
no,
kind of
I
stupid ground is he trying to break?
Well, you know what? That was one of, that could potentially have been one of the great paparazzi picks, because we still haven't seen Katy Perry naked, and I'm looking at Orlando Bloom with full paddle. On the paddle board. So.
Maybe she just wants the world to know she's in the hung jury and got to be 8 inches or more to...
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we've talked hung jury. That's a...
Yeah.
That's Ed Begley Jr. Who else is on that list?
Ah, what a waste.
Don Johnson's in the hung
jury. It's probably really veiny if it's Ed Begley Jr. Once again, very transparent skin.
Hey, also I should mention, there's a new video out this week. It was in theaters a couple months ago called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Oh yeah,
and it's kind of a bromance comedy, but pretty funny. Stars Zac Efron and Adam Devine. Adam Devine plays Andy on Modern Family. Yeah. Plays Sarah Hyland's boyfriend. I think
he plays
what he
everything
does,
now too.
He's in Workaholics.
Check out if you guys could see this because the link. But this girl Sugarland Beard, which by the way is a good last name for her nude scene here.
Gross.
She's completely naked, and I know Mark will have a heart attack when he
disgusting.
Sees this.
Disgusting.
He's circling it with a cursor.
He can't handle this. But anyway, as a joke, she came out. Now, she's fully nude, but then as a joke for the movie, they threw this big, huge merkin on her to make her look like she has a monster muff. And I know this will be tough for Mark to even talk about. But
well, now that I know it's fake.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is one of the greatest merkins ever. I mean, take the biggest bush you ever seen and times it by three, and that's the thing. So there's this scene, and the rest of her is naked. I mean, that's her boob that they just threw this thing on. But how about
wait, the chicken last tango in Paris times three?
It's very dense.
You know what I'm talking about, don't
Maria
you?
Schneider, oh. Maria Schneider would trim it. Yeah, Maria Schneider would like have to grow it like 4 more years to get to this thing.
It looks like a chia.
Really?
It's a chia pet.
Oh, yes.
Where's this bush? You got it up there, Jay?
I don't know. Which
it's over here.
I
want
you to look at Jay's
it.
Screen. I had to flip off Orlando Bloom's penis.
It's over here.
Over. Disgusting. Where is it, Mark?
It's right like here. A pornographic chia pet.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't that gross? Who would want that?
That's not even realistic.
Thank God.
It looks
hey, Mark, just so you know, that's my fantasy bush.
Oh, no way.
It looks like it's growing flower tops to me. Isn't that weird?
But you need a machete just to get in there.
But I didn't want to sidetrack you guys, but the real big thing about this movie is we have Aubrey Plaza, mm-hmm. who is best known as playing April on Parks and Rec, with a sex scene with Adam Devine where she shows her butt, and it is,
it's a nice butt.
You guys know your butts. This is a spectacular butt from Aubrey Plaza having sex with Adam Devine.
Oh, wow. Skin, any other developments in the world of nudity that we need to know about?
One last thing I do have to mention is, and Mark, you'd know this because you know the younger pop culture babes, but Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
I have a problem with her, but go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, she's been, I got to say, she's an Instagram MVP this year.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, no. She just turned 18 in January, and I never even looked twice at her watching these shows. She was like the smart kid. She plays Alex Dunphy on Modern Family, and she's the smart kid. Never noticed her, and all of a sudden she turns 18 and starts posting these pictures, and she has these huge boobs,
mm-hmm.
big butt, and this week she posted a picture. She was at a modeling shoot, and she, it's weird because there's a guy, like, behind her.
Who couldn't be less interested in what he's doing, by the way?
No, I know. He's probably, yeah.
Yeah,
but
no,
anyway,
he probably
she's
is.
In just a it's jean jacket and high heels, and, you know, I'll be the first to admit, she's not like your classic beauty, but she has like a Kardashian butt, huge boobs. She's wearing a jean jacket and high heels and nothing else. And there's a guy behind her. He's doing a little touch up, maybe looking for a dingleberry or two. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but really an incredible picture. And this is the kind of stuff all year she's been posting on Instagram. And it's not from a movie or television, but I'm very, very impressed with her body of work since she's turned 18.
My only problem with her is I think she thinks she's hotter than what she really is, but she's beautiful.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, she's had to play it down for so long. Maybe that was...
Well, then now she's emancipated from her parents or her mom or whatever. Right. So
and they repressed...
They sound like great people, huh?
Yeah, what a... Oh, man. Good for her to get away from her mom.
Yeah, they repressed all that sexuality on the show. You couldn't really see it.
Yeah.
You know what, Mr. Skin? I'm really amazed that you couldn't see through those overly large flannel shirts and stuff to...
You know, she was like 15. I mean,
oh,
that's not supposed to see through that. Yeah. So, no, but she, I got to say, I can't think of anyone who's used Instagram and social media more in the last year to, like, blow herself up from a sexuality standpoint than Ariel Winter in 2016.
Hmm. What about Sarah Hyland from Modern Family? How old is she, and has she ever done anything?
No, she hasn't. Oh, by the way. She got fappening up big time. Oh. Have you ever seen her fappening?
Did we, Brandon? Brandon's our fappening expert.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I just don't know if it was like a huge...
She was one of
them,
though?
She had the camera down on her shaved puntango that you guys might want to take a look at.
Nice. Hey, Skin, there were a couple pictures of the Olsen twins, and one was in a one-piece and one's in a two-piece bikini, and there's all this hullabaloo over, and I was like, who cares?
That's how you tell them apart.
I don't want to see them nude.
You know what? It's interesting. When I remember back in the day when they were like 17 and they were going to be 18, the big joke
the
when
countdown.
I go on radio shows in my early days of the website is, oh, the Olsen twins are going to be 18. They never did a nude scene. The good news is their younger sister, who's way hotter than they are,
huge
has
rack.
Done some really nice nudity. And I mean, I'm talking really good stuff. Old Boy, Martha, Marcy May, Marlene.
Weird movie.
Couple of really good nude scenes from the younger sister, but she's like not as emaciated as they are. So she's really hot.
Wow, how did the younger one get such a different body type?
I don't know. Well, the twins, they divided one and two.
That was kind of a medical question, I guess. Skin, how about do you? Tiger's going to make it?
I don't. Did they get rained out today?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be blown away that they're even still in it. With that patchwork pitching staff.
It is funny. You know what blew me away? I had no idea Verlander had so many strikeouts this year.
Yeah, he is totally back. Totally
How did
back.
That happen?
I, you know, it's really strange because when he was down and his ERA was over 4, he was throwing 95, 96. Now he's throwing more like 97, 98, but not that much harder. I can't even explain it. It seems to be location, and I think his breaking pitches are all working.
Yeah, he's such a great pitcher, but for a couple of years it was like, okay... Well, he's not the same guy,
no,
and all
wasn't.
Of a sudden this year he quietly is this amazing pitcher again.
You know, he had that core injury and then surgery, and I think it was a lot worse. The recovery took a lot longer than anybody realized.
Yeah, that's
well. The bigger question
injury.
I have for you guys is: I know you're in Detroit, but are you guys convinced like the Cubs are going to win the World Series?
No, I'm not. How much? Okay, in Chicago, are people just assuming they're going to win it? Because I would think if I lived in Chicago, I'd still be insisting they would not win the World Series just based on the pressure.
You know, it's funny. I think because they're the Cubs, as dominant as they've been, how loaded, how injury free, how like. All the best players in their competition are going down with injuries. I think Cub fans are still like nervous, but you look at it, it's like, how can they lose? The only way, the only answer is because they're the Cubs.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. I mean, I think because of the Cubs is so much bigger than their roster, although their starting pitching is so good. Oh my God. Three pitchers with ERAs under like 2.7 or 2.9.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
I've always said though, like Hendricks, as much as I think he's had an amazing year, Your changeup, 89, 90 guys don't do well in playoff games. Just Greg Maddux, how great did he do in playoff games?
No, that's true. There's look at some of the guys who failed in the postseason. Kershaw's been terrible in postseason. David Price can't pitch in postseason.
Yeah. He didn't pitch that well this year, but when you have a team that averages about 7 runs a game, it makes up for it.
He pitched better as year one. It looks like 2 former Tigers could win the Cy Young Award this year.
How laughable.
Isn't that incredible?
It is. And if you look at all the pitchers, I mean, Price has won, I think he's 17-8. Porcello's 22-4. Max Scherzer is, I think, what, 17-7 or something like that?
I always thought Porcello was, like, underrated. Like, I know he had some rough years with you guys, but I would be like, he was so young when he was on the Tigers.
I know. He still is young, and he's got great stuff.
He's still young.
He could. His strikeouts are going way up, too. This is his best strikeout year. He's missing more bats, and he's got really good stuff, and he's a smart pitcher. I see this guy winning maybe at least 200 games, maybe 250, because he started so young.
He's going to win the Cy Young this year, right?
Yeah, he should. His ERA is almost as low as anyone in the league.
Who wins it in the National?
Good That's question. Tough. More
three Cubs are all fighting for it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, who's it? Is it Hendricks that has the ERA of like 2.1 or 2.15, something like
right.
that? But what about Kershaw? What's his ERA?
He was injured too much.
He missed
too many innings. You're right.
I mean, Scherzer's in the mix.
Oh, Scherzer. I was thinking Scherzer actually.
Yeah.
Got 270 strikeouts.
I know. He's so good.
He really is.
Yeah. Why is it that
Cueto.
Some guys could pitch all those years, throw that hard, and never injure their elbow, and then you got all these other guys that have to go under the knife? Like, what is the? It's just genetics, right?
I think
it's
it not, is too. I think this. I think
it has to be genetics. Not that. I don't know.
I was saying genetics, like, but also the proper form.
A consistent form. In this day and age, you can't throw. You can't. Arrieta might be considered bad form. Chris Sale might be considered bad form. But how many major league pitchers have bad form and make it to the majors?
Well, I just mean having consistent form, though, the same arm angle every time.
I don't know. I truly, truly, at this point, think it's genetics. It's like, why does some guys smoke a ton of cigarettes and never get lung cancer? It's
how about
like
my mom?
You know?
My mom's 95. She smoked. She was 13. She
still
is very healthy. Yeah, still smokes.
Oh my God!
I know 95? She smoked.
Well, why quit now?
82 years she smoked.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. It's really. I mean, she doesn't feel guilty about it at all. In fact, whenever he tells her not to smoke somewhere, she gets pissed.
Probably makes her want to smoke.
How great would it be if you knew when you were a kid that you were going to live to 95? You might as well smoke, right?
Yeah,
why not? Enjoy it all if you like to. I don't know. It's a terrible habit.
Well, if you knew you're going to live to 95, there's a lot of other things you could do as well.
That's right.
Yeah, true. Hey, Skin, great stuff, and please keep us posted on Christina Hendricks. It's an issue.
Oh yeah. Hey, listen. It's like on Batman when they had the red phone, the hotline. If Christina Hendricks is nude, you guys will get an immediate call.
If we have questions, we'll put out the bad light. Thanks,
right.
Skin.
All right, guys.
Take care. MrSkin.com, of course. That's the site where you find it all. And by the way, if you're not a member on Mr. Skin, go to MrSkin.com anyway, because there's a ton of stuff you can just look at for nothing. A lot of
good free stuff.
Yeah, a lot of his lists and things like that we've talked about. I'll do his Anatomy Awards in April, and he'll always have his Anatomy Awards up there for at least a couple weeks for free. And there's just generally a lot of...
His podcast.
Oh, it's podcasting. Absolutely. I should have asked him about that. I don't know what's going on with that. I saw him in the...
Oh, there's also Mr. Man.
Oh, Mr. Man. Yeah, Mr. Man. If you're into Mr. Man, go to Mr. Man.
I'm going to pull it up just because Trudy's sitting next to me.
Oh,
so
cool.
Trudy, pretend I'm doing this for you.
You know, I just feel like addressing him so formally, I guess the Mr.
I know it's really funny the way Trudy was like, you had so much respect for him. Well, you call him Mr. Skin.
Same thing with, like doctors. I even if I know them well, I still want to address them as doctor because they put a lot into that. What? Oh my God! What is that?
What do we got?
Some dude's dong. The worst part of the. Oh God damn!
Which one?
I'm not even looking, but I think it's around this area. My close journey.
Yeah.
Do you want me to click on it for you?
No.
It's a lot of calories for that guy.
there seems to be someone using...
A lot of protein, too.
Using a man as a means of delivery of some sort of drug.
Oh, yeah, he's doing blow off the guy's dong.
Is he?
I think so.
Wow.
And this guy is trying to pour. It's crazy. He's trying to pour olive oil on his salad, but he missed. See that?
I did not.
I'm going to click on this. It's nude with food and drink. What are these movies? Oh, gross.
Now what?
Okay, you can.
Well, they're not.
Come on, it's.
I don't remember that. Drew, I don't remember this scene in Star Wars.
Who is that supposed to be?
Mark Hamill, right?
Oh, no. Ooh.
It's Mark Hamill nude. Ew.
Oh, gross. Jeez. Okay, stop. No, really, stop.
I don't know.
Someone
in Star Wars, gross. And then he went into a porn phase?
Was that really Mark Hamill?
Yeah, it was.
No kidding. I didn't know he was into porn. Good for him. Found some work.
There's David Bowie porn.
There's pissing scenes. They're probably all Tom Hanks.